Yeah, so we're going to talk about honour, and one of the things that we do in society when we honour people is we roll out the red carpet, and that's one of the themes that will run through what I'm going to say. So just bring up the next slide, please, Simon. So we're going to, we've got the red carpet, and then there's a little story about a red diary as well, which I'll come back to. And we're going to look at some common views of honour in society, how we honour people. Honour in the Bible, and just a few points on that, and just picking up some themes there that we can get hold of and take away as things to cogitate on, because there's no way I can cover the whole of honour, the topic of honour in the Bible, in this morning. One of the key themes I want to pick up is honouring your parents, because that seems to me to be one of the fundamental, it's a foundation bit of honouring that we have to learn. And the last thing is to come back to the red carpet and ask questions about what God's got for us in 2014. When Janet and I were choosing our lounge carpet, you want to go to the next one, Tom? We couldn't settle on a choice and really went to loads of shops and thinking, what on earth? This is really difficult, looking at different colours. Thought we'd settle on a green, and then that ended up not working. And the carpet that we ended up with is like a rust red. And Janet loves red, and anything red in her sort of colour palette is, that's definitely a positive. And I was quite happy to have the red, which is great. And that was during the autumn. And then I went to go and buy a diary, and I generally buy diaries which are a dark colour, shall we say. I like, sort of demure. Went into the shop, and, Ryman's, stacks of diaries. Could I find a black or a blue diary anywhere? No. So I thought, right, I have not got time to mess around. What is in the A5 diary, pages a week at a time, what have they got? A red diary. I thought, God, are you saying something? And then as I sort of pondered that, I just felt God was saying, yeah, actually, it is important this year to roll the red carpet out for God. So each time I get my diary out, it's a reminder to say this year is God's year in particular. Not that year isn't God's, but it's a choice. And as we look through the meaning of honour, we'll find out a few things about that. Okay, so honour in society. How do we honour different people? Anybody recognise that trophy? Sports Personality of the Year, that's right, okay. So we're honouring sports people, and that happens every year. So where do we see these honours? Anybody know? Hollywood Walk of Fame, yeah? So we're honouring people. We're honouring people in specific places as well, in specific occupations. Anybody recognise that guy? If I was to say the explorer Stanley, who would you think of?
David Livingstone,
yeah. That's a statue of David Livingstone, who was a famous explorer and evangelist. And interestingly, although his body is buried in UK, his heart is buried in Africa. They left his heart and he's buried in a village in Africa where he worked. And he sowed his life into that country, exploring, did what many, many men failed to do. And many fantastic stories about how God looked after him as he did that. Next one. Anybody got any ideas about that one? It's quite a difficult one, that. Anybody? Who are we honouring there? Unknown Soldier, that's right. So that's the Russian tune to the Unknown Soldier, which is why it's quite a difficult, but I thought it was quite a good picture of one. So we're honouring people who have laid down, served the country, laid down their lives. This one, a bit more difficult again. Who are we honouring here? Well done. That, and which medal is it? It's the Dickin medal, that's right. So if you go to the next slide. Yeah, it's actually Theo, who's a a dog who was trained to find IEDs and was used in Afghanistan, saved many, many lives. And there's lots and lots of examples of animals that have served people amazingly. Okay. There are some people who we honour, they're not real people at all. And you know the blue plaques for that English Heritage put up? Well, there you go. They've got one for Sherlock Holmes, who's he's a character in history. Anybody tell me who said that? So it's, "Sire, my life is ever at your command, but my honour is my own." Anybody? C.S. Lewis? Character? Reepy Cheep. Who said, "A tail is a mouse's honour." And there we go, we're back to the red carpet again. And we see that when we have film premieres, Emmys, Grammys, you name it, they roll the red carpet out for all the stars, don't they? Because they're honouring the stars. So we've seen there are people, places, times where we choose to honour our own, as it were, in society. And one of the things that I really felt was, well, what about God? You know, how are we honouring God? What is it to honour God? So what can we honour God for? Just to touch briefly on that. There's so many things in the worship this morning where we can say we honour God for something. That God created us, God loves us, Jesus died for us. The words of Graham Kendrick, I think, are fantastic. "That hands that flung stars into space by cruel nails crucified." It just speaks of a love which we, we can't fathom, and is worthy of honour. Anybody got any other things where they think is a cause for honouring God? Anyone want to shout out anything? How about that God has plans to prosper us? He formed us in the womb, and He had a plan for us. And that plan, to me, has so much possibility in it that we can bring, and we can do things because He's already been there for us. He's prepared good works in advance for us to do, as Galatians says. Okay, so lots of good things for honour, but I'd like to look at a little bit about the words behind honour, because there's two different main words. The Hebrew word, kabed, and if you're Hebrew, you've got to forgive the pronunciation because I have no idea if that's right. But it means weighty, and it's used to refer to the glory of God. So it's that sense of you're saying to God, you're recognising God's weight, as it were, in the sense of just His glory, His presence, fantastic, how fantastic that presence is. And then the Greek word for honour, timeo, it means to prize and revere. And it has a sense of, it's a response, but it is a choice. And looking at the last definition, which I've sort of put together for this morning, could we agree that it's a conscious act? And it's over and above obedience. And we choose to act and speak in a way that highly values a person. Well, in this case, God, but lots of other situations as well, as we'll see. And it isn't based on feelings, because it's based on that person's worth in God's sight. If it's a person, and if it's God, he's God. And those are all things about honour that that I wanted to bring as something to you guys to take away and to have something to chew on, as it were. So that's my working definition for this morning. A conscious decision to act and speak in a way, even to think, in a way that says we highly value a person. And there is no one higher of higher value than Jesus. Okay, so who do we honour? So a few scriptures, we'll go through this fairly quickly. Who's got Ephesians 6, 1 to 3? That's right. So the children obeying your parents. What we learn as children is fundamental to our lives. As we'll see later on, it forms a basis for how we then relate to other people and how we relate to God. Honouring employers. Who's got Colossians 3? Okay, so we have an inheritance as part of that. As our inheritance is something that inspires us to be who God wants us to be. It isn't the immediate rewards that this world offers. Honouring church leaders is very important, and I've put Christian workers in that because there are lots of people who, around the world, like Neil and Lou, who are serving God. Who's got 1 Timothy 5:17? Okay, so double honour for those who labour, who are leading us in the church. You know, so double honour for Graham and Molly, double honour for Matt and Claire. And it's something to not to get, what should we say, religious about, preoccupied with but it's actually living it out and just saying, well, how could we do that? How could we live that out? John's got an example for us about how a Christian worker who he knows was honoured.
About 12 years ago, I was working in Asuncion in Paraguay in South America. And I was working for the Church of England Missionary Society, the Church Mission Society. And while I was there, my host said, "We're going out this evening to the British Consulate. We're going to spend an evening honouring one of our mission workers." So I went along too. I knew nothing of the work of this person or the value of this person. So consequently, at that point, I wasn't able to honour from the bottom of my heart what she, in fact, had done. So I'll just tell you a little bit about what I found out about her on the way down to the ceremony. She'd come to Paraguay as a young nurse, not with a lot of experience, but with a heart to serve the people of Paraguay. She hadn't served in the capital, where the wealthy people were, but she'd served out by setting up a station, which was a centre for health and for medical care, in what's called the Chaco, which is a huge plain, which is mainly used for cattle and horse rearing. And she'd gone right out amongst these people who are actually the original Indian inhabitants before the Spanish got there to change the country. She had chosen to live as the people. She'd gone away from the capital and civilization. She did all her visiting on horseback, and she kept several horses. She kept several other animals too, and she ran a little farm and freeholding on the side of the mission. But what was key for me was that she learnt the language of the people so well that she could express her heart to them. This was an amazing service. As it unfolded before me, I realised here was somebody that even on the briefest, I hadn't even met her then as we travelled there, Here was somebody I could honor. And she'd done that, and this was 45 years after she first went there. She was still working there. So those whose minds go quickly on arithmetic will realize that she was at retiring age. And what I learned was that when they talked to her about retiring, she said, "What do you mean? I can't find it in the New Testament. That word isn't there." And that was the expression of her heart. When I got there, I found that it was in the British consulate, and the young man from the British consul was to give the speech of honour. And he did. And he'd done his research, and he'd found out. And as I listened to that young diplomat, I didn't feel that he was just doing it as a matter of show, if you like, of the procedure, the thing that's appropriate to do. He was literally amazed at the way in which he'd served. And the British government was honouring her by presenting her with a very practical gift, which was a modified Land Rover, which was able to go on all kinds of terrain across the Chaco, including driving through floods. It had citizens' band radio, and the back of it was kitted out to be an ambulance. And so he presented it to her as the final part of his speech of honouring her. And I felt I'd been privileged to be there. I'd never met her before. I met her briefly that evening. But I knew that I was going out to her station the following morning and was going to see for myself. When I went out, I wasn't listening to diplomats. I was watching the Guarani Indians in her, the way in which they honoured her. And it was just as, if not more, sincere. They were honouring somebody who had chosen sacrificially to give her life for those Indian people. And her life meant, as long as I've got blood in my veins and vigour in my muscles to do it. And I felt I could truly honour her in that situation. She was worthy of it.
Thanks, John. That's a great example, isn't it, of somebody who's been honoured and what they were honoured for. But I also want to honour somebody else who doesn't retire, and that's John. thinking back, the things I know, it's probably not the half of it. He took his family out to Africa at a time when they were very young. Quite a risky thing to do in the 1960s, I think. Even maybe now. He's been part of the leadership and not part of the leadership, and he's served in whatever he's been asked to serve in. He's done youth work, he set up a charity, and he's handed that on. And how difficult is that? Something is your own baby, something very dear to your heart, he's handed that over to a different form of different leadership. He still serves that charity from time to time. He's been to all sorts of foreign countries and invested his life and his money into people who don't have money. To orphans, designing schools for orphans, to designing curriculums in India, all around the world. I just commend him to you. If we need an example, then I think we don't have to look too far of somebody who genuinely has been a little Christ. Okay, moving on. So, to that brief interlude. Government and civil society we honour. We're commanded in Romans 13, 1-7, so we're not going to have the whole of that. So there's an excerpt from it, which I think Norman's got, yeah.
"Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except by God's appointment, and the authorities that exist have been instituted by God. So the person who resists such authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will incur judgment."
Thanks, Norman. So we're to honour, the governments around us. They've been appointed by God. And one of the authorities I was reading suggested that where's those governments, people in authority, step outside of their God-appointed role and start doing things which are against God and against the kingdom, that is the point where though we may respect them and honour that they've been appointed, actually we don't have to follow what they're saying. And it's an interesting and, what should I say, possibly emotive area, which, you know, could be discussed at length. But it's something certainly to be thinking about. And then be eager to honour one another, Romans 12, verse 10.
Be devoted to one another with mutual love, showing eagerness in honouring one another.
Okay. So we're commended to be eager, not just to do it grudgingly, but the whole thing of honour, it's a choice. It's something we choose to do. We're consciously saying, this is what I want to do. This is both my will and my choice. Not because it feels good today or felt good yesterday. Another bit of honouring that we find in the wedding ceremony, that husband and wife are committed to honour each other as man and wife for the rest of their lives. And that's a very close and lifelong commitment, which, you know, speaks of lots of things about Christ and the bride, and all sorts of things which we could talk about. So lastly, who do we honour? Well, everybody. There's no get-out clause. Honour all people, love the family of believers, fear God, honour the King. So just moving on then to one specific point about children honouring your parents. The passage from Ephesians says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for that is right. Honour your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." It does seem to me that if we've learnt well and been taught well by our parents to honour, we'll find it a lot easier to move into relationships with other people. And we all know, that our young children, the toddlers, need instruction and they have to be taught to respect other people. And as we grow up, we have a different relationship with our children. But the whole thing is that part of our parental responsibility is that we teach people to honour, teach the children, your children to honour. But you notice the passage says, in the Lord. And it's important that it's guided by the instructions that God gives us and the scripture. And it's where parents step outside of that, and if they're non-Christian parents, they're not going to be necessarily doing that. And that's where children are. They still have to honour their parents. We still have to do that. We won't have that blessing if we don't honour our parents. We don't have to agree with them. And it may be very difficult to love them, if they're abusive parents and that sort of thing. But it doesn't mean that we can't honour them. So it's, as we bring up children, we are teaching them to relate to other people. It's a foundation of how they deal with other people. And it's a starting point for how they relate to God. In the sense that the parents give life to their children, God gives life to us. And if we teach our children well, then hopefully they will then know how to relate to God. It does assume godly parenting, and it brings a blessing. God's saying that is how I want a blessing. In the same way, as he says, where there is unity, God commands a blessing. Where children obey their parents, honour their parents, then that brings a blessing. And it just seems such a fundamental thing. I wanted to just to dwell there for a moment and say, to commend everybody to honour their parents in whatever way they can. And as when my mum was getting older, it was a different relationship, much more of a peer relationship. However, I still needed to honour her, for the fact she brought me up, for the difficult life, difficulties she overcame in her life, and all that. And I think honouring your parents is very important, and honouring spiritual parents is also important. That we give them that place, and I think that's why it's so important that we give Graham and Molly due honour, because they've laid down their lives, still laying down their lives, to see the church grow, see God's kingdom extended. And, you know, we look towards Matt and Claire in the same way. So, a few practical steps. These may be straightforward things, but I just thought, trying to bring this down to some kind of, how do we move it on? How do we take things forward? So, Matthew 6:33. Who's got that?
But above all, pursue his kingdom and righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well.
Yep. Seek first God's kingdom. No better way of honouring him. So in all the choices we make, there's opportunities to do that wherever we are. Hebrews 10:25 is the next one. Okay, thank you, Stephen. So that's not everybody can be at every meeting, and that's for sure. But we can't be putting into the life of the church if we're not there. And when we can be there, let's be there. And when we're there, let's really be present and not thinking about the thing that was on our minds as we drove over. Another little verse will help us with that one. 1 Corinthians 14. 26. What should you do then, brothers and sisters, when you come together? Each one has a song, has a lesson, has revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all these things be done for the strengthening of the church. Now, we would all want to see the church strengthened. So part of that is a conscious decision then to prepare ourselves, because we won't probably have these things if we're not preparing ourselves. Putting aside the things that are worrying us during the week, being there for other people so we can welcome visitors. All these things are really important things. And then Proverbs 3:9, being generous. Honour the Lord with your wealth and from the first fruits of all your crops. So part of honour is giving God, giving him due honour from what we have financially, but not just financially, in all things. You know, we can honour God by being generous to his causes, to other people, and asking him how to do that. You know, we don't all at different times, different seasons, we don't have a lot of money. I know that one of the things that when we had very little money, when Janet wanted to bless a speaker, she took a cake, and that was just something. You know, and then. At different times, I would go and help Graham do a job, because then that would help. That would, A, give me some instruction how to maybe do some plumbing, and that would give him an extra pair of hands to do the job. There's all sorts of things where we can honour people and support people in that way. Okay. So coming back to the red carpet, we've done a bit of a tour here. We've sort of started from there. We talked about honour and how society does it. Honour in the Bible, about a conscious decision to do certain things, to express an intention to God and express an intention to each other that we honour each other. We've seen how it's a great way of building relationships, that if you build it on honour, then you won't go far wrong. Doesn't mean you've got to kowtow to people who are completely off the rails. That's not in it. But you can still respect people for what they are. And I think honouring, to me, is putting your full weight behind people, and just telling you, if you think people are wrong, then in love you tell them, express that, find a way of expressing it, but be there to help them. That's the other flip side of it, isn't it? So we can honour in church, in relationships, our parents, in serving, in our attitudes. I suppose the question is, what are the things? We each have challenges, and it's not unique to the start of the year. But we each have challenges, and what's that God saying to us? And what does it mean to honour God, for each one of us in 2014? And what does that mean for church? And we'll be exploring that, and I think that's where there's a link into the prayer. stuff. You know, part of us seeking God in these 21 days is to say, okay, God, how can we honour you? And to exploring his character and seeking him. Spend time listening to him. There's no, in one sense, no greater honour to God than we spend time listening. I think Graham was talking about that last week. Actually, it's time to perhaps be quiet, be still, and know that I am God. And that be still that I am known God, actually, one of the commentators says it means take a holiday from worrying. Yeah. You book a vacation from your concerns and you go and sit and you spend time before God. So there you go. So there we are. So that's my view of honour.